We will be doing part two tonight, and somebody reminded me today, I forgot to mention that, and we'll be doing that tonight. Glad for that today, and aren't you glad for the wind? Somebody's got to be happy for the wind, and glad it kind of blew through our neighborhood pretty strongly, blew a couple trees down in the neighborhood, and they'll get that cleaned up pretty quickly. Let's take our Bibles, and if you're able to stand in honor of God's word tonight, Acts chapter 8, we're going to be looking. This morning we saw mankind was scattered. Today we're going to see the church, this evening the church scattered. And for our second part of our two-part series here, and looking at that. Acts chapter 8, verse number 1. And Saul was consenting unto his death, and at that time there was a great persecution against the church which was at Jerusalem. And they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house, hailing men and women, committed them to prison. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord Jesus, we thank you so much for this day. We thank you so much for the wonderful service we have this morning. Thank you so much for all the visitors. We thank you for the visitor we have here tonight as well. What a blessing it is to have them part of our services tonight. We're thankful for that. We pray, Lord, that you'll bless our service tonight. Thank you so much for the good singing, the good time of fellowship that we've already had, the instrumental. What a blessing it is. We thank you so much for your son for coming to die on the cross for us, offering to us everlasting life. Thank you so much for that. Thank you for our missionaries as well. Pray you bless them. Lord, speak to our hearts this evening. I ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you so much for standing. You may be seated. This morning we saw that mankind was scattered for disobedience. They chose not to do what God had commanded them to do. Therefore, the judgment came upon them. And tonight we're going to look at another group of people that were also scattered because they also had a clear mandate. And the local church has a clear mandate. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, 19 through 20, gives the commandment to that local church to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Back in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, we also see that command reiterated by Jesus Christ to the apostles, "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." Jesus Christ had given to his apostles, had given to the local church a clear command. It was a command to reach the world for Christ, to be fruitful and multiply, if we could use that analogy in our Christian and churches, that God had a clear demand and clear requirement, a clear desire to see not only the church of Jerusalem to grow, but that church of Jerusalem mother, and to spread out and to plant other local churches around them and around the world, and to do the will of the Lord by reaching the world for Jesus Christ. He commanded them to teach them to observe all things whatsoever he commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. And so God was never going to leave the church by themselves. He gave to them the Holy Spirit to guide them, to give them the power, to give them the ability to accomplish the task that God had given them to do. And so he gave this command to the church of Jerusalem. The local church was there, and this mandate was clear and obvious, yet even the apostles had to be reminded by it. You look back to Acts chapter 1, verse 11, after Jesus Christ gives this command, he rises and sends up into heaven, and they are just standing there, and you got to wonder how long they were standing there before the angels came along. And angels came there, and they said, "Ye men of Galilee, why stand ye here gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus, which is taken up into heaven, will likewise come again." And they were just standing there, just staring up into heaven. I just imagine, I like to use this little phrase with my wife and other people around. I just imagine, I don't know how long they stood there, but I can just imagine Peter and Paul, and Peter and James and John, they're all just standing there just looking, "Wow, that's pretty cool. When do you think he's coming back down? That's pretty neat. This is another cool, this is the first for us. We've never seen him do this before." And I just imagine the angels maybe let him stand there for a second, and maybe one of them just kind of said, "What you doing? Y'all know you have a job to do. There's a requirement. Why are you standing here? Jesus Christ gave you the command to go. He gave you the command to reach your city for Christ. He gave you the command to reach Judea and Samaria with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so as soon as they were quickly reminded by the angels, they went back into Jerusalem and got to work. They began to build that church, and the Lord began to use them to reach many souls for Jesus Christ. And the apostles took that first small church there of 120 in Acts chapter 1, verse 15, and began to grow. They began to see great numbers come to Christ. They began to teach and excite their people in the importance of the local church and attending that local church and being a part of the growth of that local church and being a part of the movement of that local church, being a part of bringing people in, being a part of seeing people get saved. You can look through Acts chapter 1 all the way through to Acts chapter 5 and 6, and everyone was involved in reaching people for Christ. Everyone was involved for doing their part in the church of Jerusalem to see people get saved. The Bible says they were having meeting in house to house every day. Daily they were meeting. People were saying, come to my house and preach the gospel at our house. Come to our house, preach the gospel at our house. Come to our house and preach the gospel at our house. And they were teaching them, and people were being excited and getting excited for their local church and the church of Jerusalem, and they wanted others to be a part of it. They wanted others to experience this great growth. Bruce Turner said this, the church is for the glory of God, and we bring glory when we attend. So how much glory do you want to give to God? And here was a church that wanted to give great glory to God. Not only did they want to be at every service and be at every time that they possibly could be in, but they were bringing people by the droves. And we can see that, and from Acts chapter 1, 2, and 3, and especially over into Acts chapter number 2, the church began to really grow. They began to really explode. Acts chapter 2, verse 41. Then they that gladly received his word and were baptized in the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. That's pretty good growth. In one service, your church went from 120 to 3,120. You immediately needed a building program, because the upper room was certainly not going to house 3,120 people. And it's amazing, they didn't stop there. They didn't say, well, great, man, we got 3,000 people, man. We got us a choir now. We can get us some buses, man. We can get some going. We're good to go, man. We got our 3,000, and that, and we're good to go. They didn't stop there. The Bible says they weren't even satisfied with that. They continued to preach the gospel. They continued to give it out, verse number 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in breaking bread and in prayer. And verse number 45 there, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to every need. And then they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. Look at this. And the Lord added to the church, how often? Daily, such as should be saved. Every day they were seeing more and more and more and more and more people saved. The church of Jerusalem was blowing. It was going. It was bursting at the seams. People were excited. They were on fire for the Lord. They were on fire for their local church. They were meeting one another's needs. They were selling their goods, and someone came. They maybe got saved and got baptized, and they had some needs. They were sacrificing whatever it took to meet everyone's needs. They were had singleness and gladness of heart. They were praising the Lord. They came to church with a perpetual smile. God's people ought to smile more often. I'd be happy. And these people were excited. I wrote this in my notes. They wanted to be there daily. Every day, that let's have some more church, let's have some more church, let's have some more church. It's kind of changed in our world today. I believe we're getting to a place in our world today, in our churches today, where we're getting to where we minimize church services, and rather than get there to stay there, we're getting there to get back out. And as little as we can do, let's do that. But here was a church of Jerusalem. They wanted it, and they wanted more, and they wanted more and more. And so much that in chapter 4, verse number 4, the Bible says, howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000 souls. That's not counting the women and children. So in just two chapters, the church of Jerusalem now has gone from 120 to at least 8,000 people, if not more. That's church growth. That's exciting. In a church and in a city of Jerusalem here that was not near the size of the place of Phoenix in this area, there's a little over a million people here in this area. But can you imagine if a church went from 120 to 8,000 people? I can imagine even here, even in this area, even if in Phoenix, if a church went from 120 to 8,000 in just a little while, somebody would be hearing about it. Somebody would know about it. The excitement would be there. And you know, when there's lots of excitement, people want to come to see what's going on. And the more people that came, the more people that got saved. And the more people that came, the more people got saved. And chapter number 5, verse number 14, the Bible says, and the believers there were the more added to the church. Look at it, it says, multitudes of both men and women. This church couldn't stop seeing people get saved. They couldn't slow it down, nor did they want to. Nor did they have a desire to. And Christ said to them, before he ascended up into heaven, ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the world. And my friends, the church was most certainly, they were obeying the command to Jerusalem. Boy, they were reaching Jerusalem for Christ. It would be impossible at this time to live in Jerusalem and not know about this church. It would be impossible to do so. If a church is multituding, I like to invent words, and that's my new word for the day, multituding. There were multitudes and multitudes being saved. If one or two got saved, we wouldn't say multitudes. We'd say a couple people got saved. Multitudes is a lot. My wife and I, we like to just go see anything that's free and it's a show, we like to go do it. So there was a big giant RV show in the football stadium, in Cardinal Stadium. So those are all the RVs. We were on the floor. So you could be on the floor and look at all of it. You can see all up the sides, it's way up there. And Landon's like, can we come to a game here sometime? And I said, well, if we can take out a personal loan, sell a leg or two, we might be able to afford a ticket to this place. And he said, where would we sit? And I said, you see that one chair way up there in the top corner, way up there. That's where we'll sit, way up there. He says, really? That's really high. Can we even see the field from up there? I said, that's why they have big, giant TV screens. You pay money to go up there to watch the game on the TV when you can do it free at your house. But you know, hey, you're there. You know, when that place is full, that's a multitude. It's a lot of people. The Nebraska Cornhuskers football stadium can see, I think, over 100,000 people, and it's full. That's a multitude. And we think about the church of Jerusalem here. It had multitudes and multitudes. They were expanding faster than they could keep up with it. The growth was faster than the apostles could handle. In chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, the Bible says they came upon a really serious problem. They were growing so fast that the widows began to be neglected because the apostles, there was only so many of them. And really, when you get over 10 to 12,000 people, maybe even 15,000 people in one church, I can just imagine, I don't know how much pair Peter had when this thing started, but he began to look probably like me in about a year or so. He was working hard, and so the people say, we need some help, and they begin to choose their deacons, and 7 very godly, spiritual, righteous, holy men were chosen by that local church to assist in this growth, to be able to assist, and things were going well at the church of Jerusalem. People were being saved, people were being baptized, the city was being reached. There was no way that anyone could say, I've never heard of the church of Jerusalem at all. There's really no way, because of this growth that was there. Wouldn't it be such a pleasure to be able to go anywhere in the city of Goodyear and everyone's heard of Harvest Baptist Church? Wouldn't that be a fabulous thing? But then there was a problem. You see, the church, though it was growing, though it was reaching, no doubt the city of Jerusalem, no doubt the city of Jerusalem was seeing the gospel and hearing the gospel, and it was being spread all throughout every corner and every street and every neighborhood in the city of Jerusalem. The problem was in Mark chapter 6, verse 15, and he said unto them, go ye into all of the world and preach the gospel to every creature. They were doing great. They were reaching. They were seeing many souls saved. And yet, at the same time, the reality was there were lots of people that were living on this earth that weren't in the city limits of Jerusalem. And Jesus Christ certainly did love and die for those that were in the city of Jerusalem. He desired to see his people be saved. But there are also thousands and thousands of Gentiles and other Jews and other places that needed to hear what Jesus did. And though it was being spread in Jerusalem, that was only a third or a fourth of the commandment that God had given. They began to face judgment in our chapter, in our text today, because they weren't being obedient to what God had commanded. They began to face that judgment for not obeying that mandate. And the Bible says they were scattered. It's interesting, if you look in our text there, they were scattered abroad throughout the regions of where? Somebody tell me real loud. Judea and Samaria. Go back to Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Where were they supposed to have gone? Into Judea and Samaria. And so God says in verse number 8, 1 verse 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Ye shall be witnesses unto me. And if you like to underline and mark places in your Bible, you ought to underline this word, both in Jerusalem and Judea, all Judea and in Samaria, to the uttermost parts of the earth. And so, man, they were doing great. They were doing fabulous in Jerusalem. But the word both there means that while they were reaching the city of Jerusalem, at the same time, they were also to be reaching all of Judea and all of Samaria. They were supposed to be witnesses all at the same time. They were not only supposed to be reaching everywhere in every neighborhood here in Jerusalem, but there were also places in Judea and Samaria who'd never heard the gospel. And God says, I didn't want you to go one at a time. I didn't want you to, man, let's reach Jerusalem. All right, we've knocked every door in Jerusalem. We're done in Jerusalem. All right, let's move on over here to Judea. And let's just cover Judea. And as soon as we get done with that, we'll get over here to Samaria. And as soon as we're done in Samaria, we'll work on that. And maybe we'll just restart the cycle. But that's not what God said. God didn't say to just, man, reach your city. And as soon as you reach your city, let's reach to the world. No, God says, I want you to do it all at the same time. Both in Judea, and all Judea and Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. You see, there were areas that they were ignoring, and it could be that, man, they were so excited about reaching souls in Jerusalem, and then they're seeing souls saved every single day. But it wouldn't have been great if not only were they seeing 5,000 saved in Jerusalem, at the same time they were calling back and 5,000 were getting saved in Samaria. 5,000 were getting saved in all Judea. But they weren't doing that. And so God had to send Saul. We know that Saul came from persecuting the church, and he had already consented to the death of the great Stephen, the martyr Stephen, in verse number 60. At the end there, that Stephen kneels down and he prays his prayer and begins the conviction in Saul's heart. But Saul at this time had a hardness. He had a desire to see the church destroyed, and the church was affecting his belief system. It was affecting his Jewish belief system. He wanted to destroy it, and God used this man to bring judgment upon this people, to begin to force the church to do what God had commanded it to do, because it's great that it's reaching souls for Christ, but it wasn't fulfilling the command of God. And the people were scattered by the Lord through the actions of Saul. As verse number 3 in our text there, as for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house. And remember, they're going from house to house, having these church services and meeting together and haling men and women, committing them to prison. This word haling here means to be removed by force, to be removed by violence. He didn't care if they, he wasn't trying to get a warrant. He was just knocking down the doors. And he was dragging the folks out, and many were tortured and killed and imprisoned. Fox's Book of Martyr begins to list these things, and many would believe that these, at this time, there were those that were being sent to the Roman Colosseum to be tortured and to be used for sport, these Christians, to be used for sport. And I thought about it as I was studying this. Had they been obedient to the Lord, maybe they'd have lived, some of them. The church was greatly suffering at this time. The word here, consenting, literally means to be well pleased. It made Saul happy to be doing what he was doing. But in reality, God was using him. And at the same time, God was softening up Saul's heart so that when he's on the road to Damascus to go get more Christians, we know what happens. The light shines. And Saul becomes Paul. In verse number 3, they begin to hide in their homes, but God says, I want you to go. So in verse number 4, therefore they were scattered abroad. They that were scattered abroad went everywhere, preaching the word. Verse number 4 should have happened sooner, much, much sooner. Not because they were being scattered, not because they were being forced to leave their homes, not because they were being forced to go, not because Jesus Christ had to send Saul. They should have already gone on their own. They should have came to the apostles and said, we have a commandment to do. I'm thankful that I got to do my part in Jerusalem. But what about all Samaria? What about Judea? We've got to reach them. We're going to go, and we're going to do it. And some left in obedience. You know, I wrote in my notes, it's much easier to obey than to be forced to obey. How many of you have ever had a child? How many of you ever had a child that you never had to discipline? There's only been one. It's been Jesus. But lots of times we tell our kids this. If you just did what I told you, you wouldn't be facing judgment right now. It'd be a lot easier on you if you just do what you're told. You see, once the church obeyed, God took away the major threat and made him to be the church's greatest ally. Acts chapter 9, verses 20 and 29. As soon as they began to obey, as soon as they began to do what God would have them to do, the blessings of God began again. The churches began to grow. They began to see more souls get saved. But it all happened only because they were forced to do so. The judgment of God had to come upon the church because the church was neglecting their responsibility. So first of all, we see a great start. Second, we see a great problem. Third, we see a great opportunity. You see, the church at Jerusalem faced great judgment for not obeying God's command. Today, I believe the churches of America, possibly even ours, if we do not begin to get back to obeying the command of God, I believe that we could face judgment as well. I believe for myself, and having been in full-time ministry now for 21 years, and my wife and I are going to celebrate 23 years of wedding bliss next Sunday. Woohoo! And so pretty much our entire married life, we've been serving the Lord in ministry and lots of experience and growing up in my dad's church as being a pastor, and I've been everything. I've been evangelist kid, missionary kid, preacher's kid, everything. Whatever the kid is, I've been it. And so with lots of different experience and having been on the mission field and having been pastors of other churches, I believe it's kind of starting to get reversed now. I believe we're doing a great job of reaching the world for Christ and sending many missionaries out. And it was a great joy when we were part of Southwest Baptist Church there in Oklahoma City going to Heartland Baptist Bible College. Southwest Baptist Church supports well over 150 to 200 missionaries. I mean, they're doing a great job of reaching the world for Christ. But I believe our churches are beginning to lag at home. I believe we're beginning to lag at home. We're beginning to send missionaries, and it's fabulous. But I wonder if we're reaching all over our cities. You think about it like this. Pastor made a correct statement. I believe he was correct. On Saturday afternoon, we were just commenting before we left, and he said traditionally churches have 1/10 or 10% of their churches going out on visitation. Only 10%. If you look at the Church of Jerusalem, I believe it's 100%. You see, if we have a great desire to reach our city for Christ, if we truly, I just want to see people get saved. Visitations on that last Saturday of the month, where is God's people? Where are they? 1/10, 10%. I remember Southwest Baptist Church, every Saturday they went out and they would have visitation every Saturday. And I loved it because they had 250 people come out for visitation on Saturday. You think, man, that's a huge number. But in reality, they ran 2,500 people. 10%. 10%. That was a great number, but they could do more. You see, worldwide missions is extremely important. And I believe every one of God's people, every one of God's children should be a vital part of missions, whether they go themselves, whether they send their children, whether they spend much time in prayer or putting that money in the offering plate. It's important to reach the world for Christ. And yes, there are places all over the world that certainly do need the gospel of Jesus Christ. The city of Buenos Aires, 22 million people. I think there's only one or two missionaries in a city of 22 million people. There's no possible way those two missionary families could reach. They certainly need many, many more. Many, many more. But what about Arizona? What about Arizona? You know, there's city after city after city in Arizona that has no gospel witness. They're all over our own city. There's places here and even in the Metroplex that have cities with no churches. I want to encourage you in this way. Just something to think about. This is just a mind blower. It blew my mind when I looked this up. Population of Goodyear, 101,733. That's its peak population. Do you know that Goodyear, this is based on some stats, Goodyear has grown 418% since 2000. 418%. That's amazing. Goodyear, Arizona is growing extremely quickly. In fact, Goodyear, according to the statistic, is growing faster than 98% of similarly sized cities since 2000. Woo, we have an opportunity. Oh my goodness, we have an opportunity. My sister and I live in the city of Buckeye. Woo! It has 101,315. So just these two cities, has nearly a quarter of a million people just in this little corner. Do you know that Buckeye, since 2000, has grown 938%? In fact, it is literally right now, Buckeye is the fourth largest growing city in the United States as of right now. Opportunity. The opportunity. Did not Jesus Christ look out and say, oh, the fields are wide already unto harvest, but where are the laborers? And I believe we're doing a great job, and it's the same statistic anywhere else, all over. There's a little tiny city, it's actually in Texas. It's beating out Buckeye by like two things. In 2000, it only had like 13,000 people. Here in 2020 now, it has like 75,000 people. Every city in America, it's blowing up everywhere. But then I look to our churches, and our churches aren't. We're not blowing up according to the population. We need a desire. And here was the Church of Jerusalem. I believe the Church of Jerusalem, it did such a fabulous job, but it wasn't reaching the world. And so Christ then had to take drastic measures to scatter the churches abroad to get them to reach the world for Christ. And I have a great burden in my heart, and my brother shares this burden to begin to plant more churches, because we can look around in our cities, and we can look around in our areas, and we can see the fields wide already to harvest. The laborers are few. We're reaching our cities for Christ. Wouldn't it be fabulous if our churches begin to be revived once again? Our churches in America need revival. I wrote this in my notes. How is it that our country's population continues to explode, yet our churches stay the same? We must honestly judge ourselves in maybe even in our local church. And are we satisfied where our churches are today? Is the status quo okay? I have not yet run across a single business that said, well, we made $1 million, we're good to go. We're not going to make any more. No, businesses, they want to continue to grow and grow and grow and grow and grow. I've never heard of Walmart saying, we got enough stores, we're done. It's not happening. They're building them as fast as they can. But the churches, it seems like in our world today, we're satisfied with the status quo. The Church of Jerusalem found themselves not doing the job that they were called to do and faced the scattering judgment of God. So truly, honestly, could it be that our churches in America are on the same path to judgment? You're doing a great job reaching the world for Christ, but what about your own city? What about your own neighborhood? We live in a society now where we're getting to where we don't even know our neighbors' names now. We just kind of keep to ourselves. What about it? Church member, when's the last time you covered your neighborhood with the track? covered your neighborhood with tracks. Just got out and walked the streets and covered your neighborhood with tracks. Had some excitement about our local church. Brought someone to church. Think about it this way. Are we satisfied with how our church is right now? Could we do with a little bit more? Could we fill those chairs? John Newbern said this. People can be divided into three groups. Those who make things happen. Those who watch things happen. And those who wonder what happened. Which group are you? Which group are you? Especially in your local church. Let's have every head bowed and every eye closed tonight. Would it be honest to take a poll of our service to the Lord? Take a poll of our service to the Lord. Maybe we could consider, could I do more? Could I work a little harder? Could I challenge you this week as you drive around? Could you look around and say, man, that would be an awesome building for a church. That'd be a fabulous place for a church. I wonder if we could build up enough to maybe start a church there. Plant another place. We had neighborhoods blowing and going everywhere. Have you just driven through a new neighborhood and wondered, I wonder how many lost souls are going to move into this new neighborhood. I wonder how many of these people I could bring to church. I wonder how many of these folks are going to come knowing Jesus Christ as our Lord and personal Savior. How long have the empty chairs been in front of you? Have you ever thought, I wonder what it would be like if I filled those chairs? Filled those chairs. I wonder what it would be like. Could our church do more? Just something to consider tonight. As the music begins to play,